What's up, you guys? It's movie retrospective time once again.
Yeah.
Here's the one that won this week. This one only won by a vote or two, but I'm actually kind of glad that this one won because this is a movie that I watched on cable a shit ton of times back in the early 90s, and I hadn't actually seen it for a while, so it was like really cool to revisit it. It's on Hulu. I'm sure you can get it other places too, but that's where I watched it, and that's where I got the idea to put it in the poll. This is Arachnophobia from 1990.
Yeah, do you remember what month this came out in?
July.
Okay.
It came out in like late July of 1990.
Yeah, I think I saw this in the movie theater.
I think I did as well.
And that would have been like a couple months before I joined the Army, which that kind of checks out.
I'm
pretty sure I saw this one.
Yeah, this was the same week. I think this was the same week that Ghost came out and the same week that Die Hard 2, I want to say. Because I think this was the third highest, highest ranking movie that week.
I remember that there was like a big fuss about it. It was the best new thing, you know, at the time. And I'm pretty sure I saw this one in the theater. I know I saw it afterwards.
Yeah.
But I think I saw this in the theater too. And I had forgotten how much of a Steven Spielberg type movie this is.
Well, that's because Steven Spielberg was a producer on it. And also the director, Frank Marshall, this was actually his first full-time, you know, full directing thing.
Yeah.
But prior to this, probably better known as a producer for Amblin Entertainment. He's also one of the founders of Amblin Entertainment, Steven Spielberg's production company. He's married to Kathleen Kennedy. The three of them formed Amblin. And he had previously worked as a second unit director on a bunch of Steven Spielberg movies, including the Indiana Jones movies and all those ones. So you can tell that they all had kind of that same aesthetic. You know what I mean?
They had the same tone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's very early 90s Spielbergian kind of an all-American kind of tone to it. America poking fun at itself at certain times. There's a lot of fucking wisecracks about mainstream America in it. You know what I mean? Remember how they were... She said, "You guys, oh, so you're a nepotist." And he goes, "No, we're Baptists." And I was like, coming from Mississippi, I was kind of laughing. I was like, yeah. Those fucking little Baptist towns, they're all related to each other.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to get a job is if you're related to somebody in the damn town.
Yeah, it's a very small town type of story. Yeah. It reminds me a lot, and I think this was, this seemed like this was a deliberate thing that they wanted to do, was it kind of a throwback to a lot of the kind of the 50s monster movies a little bit. And Frank Marshall, the director, like I said, he basically wanted to make something like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah, although I don't think they actually did. If you ask me, I even confused this. When you first asked me about, oh, this is what we have to see, I got as confused as Kingdom of the Spiders with Shad.
With Shad, yeah. And that's from 76, I think.
Yeah, this one always reminded, even when I saw it back in the, later on VHS, you know what I mean? Like in the 90s later on. It always kind of reminded me of a high class fucking Kingdom of the Spiders. Kingdom of the Spiders was like, it sucked. It was like something made from TV. But it was cool in the day. You had Shat running around trying to be Shat in Western clothing fighting spiders. It was ridiculous.
I mean, the thing about Kingdom of the Spiders is that the difference between it, it's like, yes, it's both about spiders. Arachnophobia knows what it is. It knows that it's trying to be a comedy. Like, it's trying to creep you out, too. But this is kind of... I wouldn't even call this a horror movie, really, unless you're really, really afraid of spiders, and then it might be upsetting. And, you know, a lot of people do die and shit like that in it. But it's done in a sort of lighthearted way. This is kind of one of those...
Kind of like Gremlins.
Like 80s, 90s sort of things, where it's kind of like a horror movie, but it's something that a little kid could watch.
Kind of like
without,
Gremlins.
Yeah,
Jurassic
without, like,
Park.
Upsetting them too much.
Yeah.
So...
Jurassic Park type thing, you know what I mean? It's a horror movie in the way that Poltergeist is a horror movie.
Yeah, and it gets lumped in with a lot of movies like that because, like I said, it's got scary parts in it and people die and terrible things happen, but it also has a bunch of funny shit and, you know, it's just the tone of it is a lot more lighthearted, so a kid could watch it and it wouldn't, like, traumatize them for life or anything like that. So it's kind of like a good gateway drug if you're trying to get your kids into horror, you know?
I remember not liking this movie back in the day. I remember just not being that impressed with it. But I like it now better than I did. I think because of the nostalgia. And it did age pretty well. it was shot pretty well. It had a good Spielbergian fucking tone to it, which wasn't a thing back in the era of Spielberg. That was just the way a normal movie was. Yeah. I didn't realize that there was a Spielberg style.
Well, it's easier to see in hindsight.
Yeah, looking back on it, you see it.
Yeah.
But you didn't see it at the time. It was just normal. That's the way you thought big budget movies should be. That's how they should look.
It's just that's kind of like, it's kind of like fashion, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, it doesn't really seem like
you didn't
weird.
See the bell bottoms.
Right, it's, when you were watching it, but then like later on, you're like, what the fuck is everybody? Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
But so, okay, so Arachnophobia, it's interesting because I watched a bunch of different people's like takes on this, like reviews and stuff. And there was one movie reviewer, I can't remember what his name was, but he has a channel and he's looked real young. I'm not sure how young he was. He looked maybe in his 20s, like at the very latest. And he said that Arachnophobia was his favorite spider movie, but he said Kingdom of the Spiders was a very tight second.
Yeah. So
and he was like a real young guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About the same.
Well, the Kingdom of the Spiders takes itself real seriously, which is what makes it funny, because it's kind of campy, whereas this one is, you know, set out to be a comedy.
Yeah, but Kingdom of the Spiders didn't seem to be campy when you were a kid.
Well,
in
no.
the late 70s, seeing it on reruns on television, you're like, oh, man. Because it was up there with, I don't know, kind of like Salem's Lot when you were a kid.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Some scary shit.
Salem's Lot's better, though.
There was a lot of nature run amok movies in the 70s.
This movie, it aged well. It's still a good movie. It's a movie of its time, which means it's going to have some weaknesses. Not all the special effects really kind of held up. Some of the stuff is obviously rubber.
Although
some of it's obviously kind of, but some of it's great. It's a weird, it's a mixed bag.
It's interesting because they didn't use they didn't really use any rubber spiders for this.
No, but
a couple
eggs.
Of the bigger ones were animatronic.
Yeah.
But all of the smaller ones were real.
They were real. But
I mean, they wanted to use real spiders.
There's something about the way the webs and then the fucking egg casings where the eggs came out. You could tell it was kind of like a rubber ball and things were coming out of it. It just didn't quite... It wasn't convincing, but it worked within the tone of the movie because the movie's not really... trying to take itself too seriously.
Yeah, like I said, it's a comedy more
like
than
Gremlins.
Anything else. Yeah, it just kind of hits that sweet spot between being funny but also having like some horrific shit happen in it, like a little bit of horrific imagery. Oh, fun fact, speaking of the special effects, some of the animatronic spiders and the egg sac and everything, you know who worked on that?
Who's that?
Jamie Hyneman from Mythbusters. Okay. This was actually one of his first big blockbuster movies that he worked on the special effects.
It had good humor, like little details, like, you know, guests at the party stealing food, and, you know, you want a doggy bag for that? That kind of stuff. And it was kind of, some of the humor was kind of undertones of humor, which I thought was funny, which is a good way of doing it. And
yeah,
just the smart aleck stuff. It's not really so much in your face.
It wasn't like real over the top or zany. It was... Yeah, the humor was like situational.
Yeah,
which I think worked a lot better because it didn't come in your face like this is funny or anything like that. It was just like the humor was arising from the situations. So what you have is Jeff Daniels is in this. Well, first thing, you have kind of a prologue, which is set in Venezuela, and they did actually shoot it in Venezuela, so that is like all real, all the jungle and, you know, the mesa and everything like that. They don't call it a mesa, they call it something else. But you know, so that's all real, and that was like the first time that a film had ever been shot there in that particular area. So they go down there and film it. Now Julian Sands plays an entomologist. It's entomologist, right? Not etymologist, because I know there's two different things. One study of bugs and one study of words, but they're very similar. So he's down there. They've found like this big sinkhole and they're trying to find new species of insects, arachnids, whatever. So they, you know, spray pesticides or whatever and they catch all these fucking spiders. Now it turns out that one of the spiders that they catch is pretty aggressive. And it ends up killing one of the members of their crew, who already had a fever he had like malaria, or I don't remember what it was he had, but he had some kind of fever. So he went to lay down, and the spider bit him, and he died like almost immediately. But they thought it was the fever because it was already established that he had that. So it so happened that this guy, who was a photographer who was on the team, named Jerry Manley, I think his character name was, and the spider that killed him kind of hitched a ride back to the United States in that dude's coffin. Now, it so happened that he lived in a little fictional town called Canaima, California. And so the coffin gets there, the spider gets out of the coffin, and, you know, the coroner doesn't see him or anything like that, but they open the coffin and the dude's like all, it looks like all his fluids have been drained out, like he looks like a fucking mummy or some shit. And they're just like, man, what the fuck happened to him? They don't know how to preserve bodies in South America, I guess. And that's kind of like all they think of it. So you have that going on. And then the spider, like, gets picked up by a crow, and then it bites the crow, and the crow, like, falls to the earth or whatever, and it ends up in this barn. Now, then you get Jeff Daniels, like I said. Now, him and his wife, he's a doctor, like a GP, and she's a stockbroker. Now, they're from San Francisco, but I guess they're like, well, we want to come out here to the country and raise our kids, you know, because San Francisco's too big a city, it's too much crime, or whatever. So they move out here to Canaima, California, and they buy the house. Now, they chose this town in particular because the doctor that's already in town, this old coot, said that he was going to retire. So Jeff Daniels is going to take over his practice. And only when he gets there and buys the house and everything, the old fart decides that he's not going to retire. So Jeff Daniels is like, well, fuck me. Now, like, what am I going to do now? Because now I have, like, no patience. So as it turns out, there's one older lady in the town who doesn't really like the old fart doctor. And so she's like, well, I'll be your one patient. Okay. So he has one patient and he's like, oh, yay, goody. And, but it turns out that she goes to him and he's like, yeah, I don't think you need these, blood pressure pills or whatever that the old fart doctor was giving you. So she stops taking them. And then a day or two later, she drops dead. So then it kind of establishes, even before you get to the spider stuff, because you know that the spider stuff is going on in the background, because what ends up happening is that the spider that came in the coffin from Venezuela mates with a regular house spider, and the strain that is thus produced is kind of like this really, really venomous type of spider that also kind of is more like an ant colony type of shit, where it has like a queen and, you know,
hive mind.
Which spiders don't usually do. That's, you know, it's very unusual, but that's kind of like a plot point that's in this. So it kind of sets up this thing where it's like small town versus big city, because now, even though it's the spiders that are picking off the citizens of this town, like, one by one, it so happens that every time one of them dies, like, the doctor has seen them, like, you know, the young doctor has seen them, like, a day or two before, so everybody in this small town was like, oh, this big city doctor comes here, and all these people start dropping dead, and, they don't know what to do, and so there's kind of, like, something, like, a conflict there, and he starts getting called Dr. Death, and, like, the old fart doctor is gonna fucking sue him, and all this other kind of shit. But then as it goes on, about at the halfway point of the movie, they actually do figure out that it is a spider that's causing all of this stuff, at which point, you know, they contact Julian Sands from the beginning of the movie and, you know, kind of try and figure out what the fuck is going on with these spiders. Now, so the interesting thing about this, like I said, they used almost all real spiders in this. Anytime you see, like, spiders going through the walls or, like, crawling on people's faces, or there's one, like, real famous scene where the spider jumps down on that girl's face, like, while she's in the shower and, like, slides down her stomach and all this stuff. Those are all real spiders. They had to have all the actors kind of, they're like, hey, how do you feel about having spiders crawl all over you? Because that's what's going to happen. I thought this was very funny. I was watching, like, this really old documentary about this that came out, like, shortly before the movie came out, that was kind of like the making of and blah, blah, blah. And the guy that played Jerry Manley in the movie was, like, hosting it. And he said that what they had to do, he's like, because casting insects or animals in a movie is just like casting people. You know, you have to try out different ones. So what they ended up doing was they had a Spider Olympics, like, before, because they were trying to determine what the best breed of spider for the shit that they wanted the spiders to do in the movie. You know what I'm saying? So, it, you know, because he's like, some of them, you know, run too slow, or some of them aren't very good at climbing up glass, or some of them, you know, so it's like we had all of these tasks that we wanted the spider to do over the course of the movie. And then we had like 7 or 8 different species of spiders to see which one could do it the best. So, which I thought was very cute. I was like, I kind of wish that they had filmed all of that because that would have been really funny. But I think the one they ended up picking for like the main spiders was, I think they're called Avondale spiders. They're from New Zealand.
Little yellow ones.
Yeah, they're kind of, they kind of look like, they're kind of like a hunting spider or a wolf spider. Yeah. They kind of look like that, which they have those here that look really similar.
Yellow with black feet.
Yeah, and they said, well, we liked those because, you know, they were big enough that you could, like, see them, and they looked real creepy, and they were real good at, like, climbing up glass and jumping, and they were kind of fast, which they kind of wanted because they said that's creepier, and also they're real docile, and they were easy to work with, and they're completely harmless to humans. So that was the one they picked. Now, they also had to have a couple bigger spiders because, you know, in the context of the movie, they had one that was a queen, and then they had one that was, like, a general. Some of those were animatronic, but some of them were not. They actually did use, like, one of those big bird-eating tarantulas, like, from South America or whatever. They actually used one of those. But it was, like, really interesting because they had this dude, I can't remember the fucking, what's the dude's name? Something Frank Kuchner, I want to say. But I don't remember Frank is his first name. But he's kind of, like, a real famous, like, bug and spider wrangler. And he does that for, like, a lot of movies. He's been doing it for years and years. And they were talking about all the different ways that they were getting the spiders, like, to do what they wanted them to do in the movie. And, like, some of the background shots of, like, just all... There's, like, spiders all over the walls. And they're, like, putting them in little bowls and shit like that. And they're putting, like, fucking little tracks of lemon juice or, like, blowing on them with a hair dryer and shit like that, like, to get them to move around the way they wanted them. Because they said, you know, you can't really train spiders.
You can only manipulate them.
You can only manipulate them and, like, try not to hurt them. And I was like, it's weird because I was, like, kind of worried about, I was like, no, they didn't hurt any of the little spiders. Because I kind of like spiders. I'm not, I know people are, a lot of people are creeped out by them. But I'm really not.
Don't like them at all.
Yeah, Tom really does
but
not
the
like
movie it. Didn't really creep me out about spiders. There's something about this movie. Just the tone of the movie. It didn't give me an arachnophobia feeling, really. I was indifferent. And I think that was the reason I think I probably didn't really have really great memories of the movie, even back in the 90s.
Because you didn't find it scary.
No, I thought it was just kind of bleh.
It's not a scary movie. No. It's a fun movie. It's a fun, entertaining type of movie, which is what they set out to make. They didn't want to make something that was, like, horrifying. They just wanted something that was kind of like, ooh, kind of creepy, but then, like, also kind of fun. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of like cross between Jurassic Park and Gremlins.
Yeah, it's like a little kind fun like monster movie. Yeah. Now, one thing that I did notice on this go-around that I don't think I noticed the first time, because now that I'm, you know, more, I guess I'm more, you know, conscious of different types of cinema techniques and shit like that. One thing that they do a lot in this that's actually really cool, because I don't think they really do this in a lot of other monster movies, is that something they would do a lot was they would have the actor, like, say, the old lady, that the first one that gets killed in the town by the spider, and they'll have her, like, come into the room and sit down, and then the camera will pull back, and then the spider is, like, in the lamp. So it's like they always, like, have a continuous shot showing the person and then showing the spider in the same shot as them. Like, there's no cuts or edits or anything, so that you always know where the person is and where the spider is, but the person can't see the spider. So it's kind of like this suspenseful type of shit, because that's what they said they really were cognizant of Alfred Hitchcock's thing, where, you know, where he has, like, kind of a famous thing where he talks about suspense. And he's like, you know, you and me are here talking about baseball, and there's a bomb under the table, and, you know, the bomb goes off. If you do it like that, then everybody in the audience is just like, oh, they'll be, like, startled for a few seconds, and then they'll forget about it. But it's like, if you show, you know, if you show, like, the two people talking about baseball on the table, and you show the audience the bomb under there and say, oh, it's going to go off in 5 minutes, then that's what suspense is. You have to give audiences, like, certain information that the people in the movie don't have in order to generate suspense. So that's kind of what the, you know, kind of the framework that they were going for with this, because they were always showing where the spiders were, but the people in the movie didn't see them. And they said that was one of the best things about making a creepy movie like this about spiders, is that the spiders, they said, we don't want to make, like, big, huge ones, because there have been, like, a lot of, like, giant spider movies and big bug movies and stuff. But they're like, in a way, it's kind of creepier if they're smaller, because they could be anywhere. You know, like I said, the one dude, like the old fart dude that died, the doctor that dies, the fucking spider like crawls into his shoe and then bites his toe and then he has a fucking heart attack. And, you know, and then there's one in like a cereal box and, you know, they can just be anywhere and like pop out at you and then you'd be dead like in a few seconds, which, you know, is pretty creepy when you fucking think about it. But yeah, so that's why. But yeah, they said that was something they were really, really aware of, that whole Alfred Hitchcock thing. It's like, you know, we'll have a kid like bending down to pick up a baseball and then there's a spider right there, you know, or the football player that dies, you know, right before he picks his helmet up, the spider climbs in there. And then so you know what's going to happen, but the people in the movie don't know what's going to happen.
That's what they said. All right. But it's more likely that they chose little spiders because it was cheaper. That's probably what it really was. Because if you ask me, a whole bunch of spiders living in the ground in like a nest or out in the forest in a nest, and each one of them ends up being the size of an Alaskan king crab. No, I'd rather see that, especially if it was like believable. You know what I mean? Imagine if they had legs, it was like 3.5 inches in diameter, you know, 6 foot across fucking leg span, you know, where it's not so big to where it's like 50s monster movie atomic fucking spider, you know, the size of a building. Not that big. But big enough to fucking be a threat.
But at least you would know where that was at, though. They couldn't hide as good.
It couldn't hide, but they could, you know, come into your house, you know? Like in a swarm. You know, like something like a Day of the Triffids. You know, it wouldn't be one of them. It'd be a whole bunch of them. And they'd be kind of like an ant colony. Each one of them with a body the size of a cat or something. Big old jaws on it. That would freak me out. Where one or two of them could drag you off. I'd like to see that.
I kind of feel like, because there have been a lot of spider movies. We haven't seen, like I said, I've seen a bunch of kind of the 50s big bug ones, like Tarantula, and there was one that was just called, what the fuck was that one called? I don't know. There was one on Mystery Science Theater, but I can't remember. But that was also like a big giant tarantula. But there were some more recent ones. It was like Eight-Legged Freaks, that a lot of people... Now, the ones in Eight-Legged Freaks, I feel like that was one spider that was about as big as a car, but yeah. Am I remembering it wrong that there were some smaller ones that were about the size that you were describing?
I don't know. I never seen that one.
Yeah, we watched it together a few years ago. Yeah. I
forgot about it.
I just can't remember because I get it confused with, because it was another one that was called Big Ass Spider.
That was a good one.
That we watched.
That was a good one, yeah.
And I remember a lot of people not really liking Eight-Legged Freaks, although I remember it
what you're talking about now, but I don't really remember the size of the spiders. But
that's
I'm
saying.
I remember that movie. Yeah,
I mean,
it wasn't as good as Big Ass Spider. Big Ass Spider was good because it knew what it was. It was like Sharknado.
Yeah, I mean, I have to remember. I can't remember like which one was which now, and so I get them both confused. I'm pretty sure we saw Eight-Legged Freaks first, and it had the dude from Scream in it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember, but I could have sworn that Eight-Legged Freaks had, like, one big one, and then a bunch of smaller ones that were, like, dog-sized,
yeah.
I thought. But I could be remembering that completely wrong. I could be thinking of a totally different movie.
That's the thing, is that if they were to do what I described today, they'd want to do that shit CG. You want it practical effects.
Well, yeah, because
it's got to look real.
The CG spiders and Eight-Legged Freaks
look
terrible.
Yeah, they don't look real.
Like, the big ones look terrible.
It's got to have some mass, you know. It's got to be able to come after you.
I think that's why Arachnophobia, that's probably
why they went that way.
I like that so much, and yeah. I think that's why that's a lot of people's favorite spider movie, is because all those are real spiders.
It's not a bad movie. I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
I have a lot of affection for it just because, I mean, I saw it a bunch of times on cable, and it's just it's one that has like a lot of rewatch appeal for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those movies that, and this, the young guy said this too. He's like, this is one of those movies where every time if you're flipping through the channels or whatever and you see that it's on, you sit there and watch it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just
aged well. It's, for me, it's better now than it was. But at the time, I thought it was a little bit disappointing. I can remember, you know, being like, it was just okay. But you look at it now, it's better than it was. Maybe it's because I'm older now, so I'm more appreciative of it, you know. I was, you know, still in my teens, I think, in 1990, and maybe almost 20. I think I just turned 20.
Yeah, I was 18.
Yeah,
so.
I think I just turned 20. And, you know what I mean? I still wanted the shit to, you know, to be fucking large scale, something like Jurassic Park, you know.
Although Jurassic Park was the next movie that Steven Spielberg. That was 93.
And things had to be kind of big, you know what I mean? Like to kind of impress me, you know. That, like the things from Gremlins were pretty big, you know. Just Alien and Aliens, you know. Saw those, you know. It's just that was just kind of the mode. That was why Jurassic Park was such a success, is that the shit was big, and the CG still fucking holds up pretty well.
Yeah, I just watched that again recently, and that CG looks better than shit that was made in like the mid 2000s. Yeah.
I think some of it was practical too.
It was. And, well, the close-ups were all animatronics, puppets, things like that.
Look good.
If that's what you're gonna do, I mean, like I said, I think the reason that Arachnophobia still looks so good is because 95% of the spiders were real spiders. And, you know, just in some scenes, they used, like, animatronic or anything like that. They didn't use anything cheesy. Obviously, it was 1990, so you didn't really have, you know, you had CGI, obviously, because 3 years later they did Jurassic Park. But they really didn't want to use that because they wanted the spiders to stand up. And they thought it would be creepier if the spiders were real so that people could react to them, obviously.
I just remember seeing the movie, thinking it was okay, that it wasn't great. It didn't really impress me that much. It was okay. And then I remember this movie being quickly forgotten and replaced by other movies that were coming out at the time. I mean, it wasn't forgotten as if it was like a bad movie. It was just like it was forgotten because it wasn't that memorable. Like, rewatching this movie again, I didn't remember anything except the bug hunter. Who's at the place?
John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman showed up, and I remembered that character instantly, and he was kind of like the highlight of the movie.
He kind of steals the show.
And I was like, remembered some of the things that he had said, and I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I also remembered that he was like the best part of the movie.
I think that I liked a lot of the characters in this. I liked that that fucking asshole sheriff played by Stuart Pankin. He was hilarious. The fucking coroner dude, Irv, whatever. Yeah. And he's like I love that they have that trope. They have this in so many movies where the coroner like always comes into the morgue or whatever, like eating a sandwich. you know what I mean? They're always like eating. And the guy, I guess that was the same guy and his wife, like watching Wheel of Fortune with the popcorn, with the fucking spider runner. So there's like a lot of really good, like, characters in this, which I think is another thing that
I remember just a few months later being in the army and having guys fucking quote that fucking John Goodman bug hunter character and doing that character, you know, in the army setting.
Yeah. That's a very iconic.
He was like the most memorable thing from this movie, you know, looking back on it. That's what everybody remembered.
Yeah.
So much the spiders or anything.
Yeah, I definitely do think that. I mean, and it's funny, some of the shit that he says, because I know that, like, a lot of people, you know, are talking about the shit that he says, like, yeah, I'm bad, and, like, you know, fucking rock and roll and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the funniest part to me is when he's in the basement of the doctor's house, like, talking to the doctor's wife, and he just, like, casually says, would anyone object if I tore out this entire floor here? And then she's like, I would. And he's like, never mind then. Just like little shit like that. Yeah. Like, kind of cracked me up. So yeah, that was like a really good character because he was so,
memorable.
Just like the funny shit. Like when he first met the entomologist, like the scientist, he's like, always nice to meet a colleague. You know what I mean? He's like an exterminator. Yeah. He's like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, just little lines like that, I think, are like really funny. But yeah, that's definitely a highlight of the movie. But like I said, everybody's good in this. Jeff Daniels is good in this. It's just like a good ensemble cast. Like the characters are all kind of like distinct, and they all kind of, and it's funny without being over the top goofy or like you know, too much in your face with it. But yeah, definitely it's on Hulu if you want to watch it, if you haven't perhaps seen it in a long time. It's just funny to me that you weren't creeped out by the spiders.
No, not really. If you like Jurassic,
he really does not like spiders.
Yeah, I don't really like spiders, but it didn't really creep me out. If you like Jurassic Park, you'd probably like it. If you like Gremlins, you'd probably like it.
Yeah, just kind of a fun creature feature.
Yeah, it's not real serious. Almost kind of like almost. What was the one with the damn monsters that were underneath the ground? The graboids.
Tremors.
Almost a little bit like Tremors, kind of.
Yeah.
There's something about it.
It occupies that same space, like I said, that I think Gremlins sort of established.
Yeah.
Poltergeist is like that too, although Poltergeist is not as funny. It had like comedic moments in it, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's kind of just kind of that fun,
like Tremors 1.
Family friendly kind of. It's sort of a horror movie. It's sort of scary parts in it, but you know, maybe Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like that kind of tone to it, where it has like horrific imagery in it.
King of the Spiders.
Yeah, like but that, it's still real funny, and you can still watch it with your kids, and you know, they won't get too upset about it, but it's still like kind of exciting for them to watch and shit like that. So as I said, if you, you know, if you're a parent and you're looking for movies to get your kid into horror, because I know, you know, since I'm know a lot of people that are into horror and they have kids and they're like, well, what's a good first horror movie for kids to like to kind of ease them into it so it doesn't freak them out too much. But this is definitely one that, you know, probably should be added to the rotation along with Gremlins, Beetlejuice, all that kind of stuff that are kind of scary, but still fun and like, you know, kind of family friendly for everybody. But yeah, it's like I said, it's on Hulu at the moment. Probably you can probably rent it on Amazon Prime too, I imagine. But yeah, go check it out if you haven't seen it. And that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you on the next one. Bye.